so we can start the meeting. So, to make sure you're all very welcome, as per usual, we have apologies from Councillor Kern, who has been away tonight, so we'll obviously pass them on my regards. Everybody else, okay, any other apologies to report? No. Declarations of interest?
None.
Robert Burgess, Agamage. Okay. And no other declarations of interest. Okay, folks, we're going on to item 3, which is the presentation from David Arthur and Amanda Johnson, who are both very welcome here today. And thank you very much for giving up your time to come and see us. This is a presentation regarding social enterprise NI and the delivery at local level. Like all presentations, there will be 10 minutes for the presentation, and then if councillors want to ask any questions, they are free to do so. So I will hand over, I think, to David. Okay, and David is the next minister, so he's well used to this setup. That's why he looks so comfortable up here. So thank you, David.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much for having us along this evening. It's good to be back among some familiar faces, and I'm sure you're fed up looking at me. You've seen me that much over the last couple of weeks, but again, thank you very much for having us with you this evening. We're going to give you just a brief outline of what we do as an organisation, and then also some sort of points of what we do and what we have come out of the report that we recently launched on the rebalancing of the NI economy. So I'm going to take us through the first couple of slides, and then Amanda will come in and do the stuff around the report. So the first slide is just our mission and our values. So our mission is to be the voice for social enterprise and social entrepreneurs across Northern Ireland, and connecting and supporting development to create social change. Our vision is that social enterprise can be recognised as a valued business model through which society profits. And obviously in this area there's quite a few good examples of that. Most of them are members of ours. So this is a wee activity update of what we have been doing over the last few months. We're not going to go through every item, just bearing in mind we've only 10 minutes, but the first one there is the Social Economy Policy Group, and that's a group that we feed into. That's all departmental organisations, you know, committees and stuff, and we feed into that to let the department and government know what's social value and what's social enterprise, what we need from our point of view for our members. We're a member organisation with 300 members, social enterprise and corporate members. As I say, some of the ones that will be recognisable in this area are Clan Rye, Cycle Recycle, Slack Press, CSNI. Those are the sort of members that we have in this area. The next one, the Social Enterprise Policy for Ireland. That was launched down in the Republic of Ireland there a few months back. And only last week, Andrew Ford, the guy who was instrumental in that, was the keynote speaker at our conference last Thursday afternoon. I'll leave the next one that's there. It's obviously just pre-consultation between DUP and Sinn Féin around their economic strategy. The Permanent Secretaries of Finance Education, we've been meetings with them, and we have a really good relationship with the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Finance, somebody who's familiar with this town, Sue Gray. And Sue has been really instrumental, is a really good supporter of what we do in the social enterprise sector. Leading on to that, then again, the MP for the area here, we met him in his role as Minister for Finance at a round table event a few weeks ago. So again, that was a really good night, and we had a good meeting with Minister Murphy and his the Permanent Secretary again, Sue Gray. Cabinet Office meeting came out of meetings with Sue Gray. That was around, you all know that there's no Social Value Act here in Northern Ireland, though there is in England and Wales. So that was around the model of what's going on in England and Wales, and the guys from the Cabinet Office came over and spoke to us about that. Dormant accounts, the process of that's still ongoing, and we're still at the forefront of that. Belfast Met College, we ran a programme with them where we put a student one day a week into their social enterprise, their second and third year business students in there. Our private and public sector meetings, that's ongoing, we do that on a daily basis, that's what we do for our members. We held a very successful awards evening in October, and I know some of your members were present with that, is on other guys and remembering their roles between the NEC and MILGA. And then the bottom one there is the SEUPB looking towards Peace Plus and how social enterprise could be a part of that strand of funding going forward. Another couple of things I'll just point out. Obviously, we do a lot of work with New England Enterprise Agency, and it was great to see that this council was awarded the MILGA Awards for their work with Stephen McLeod and the guys out there at New England Enterprise Agency. And we along with Stephen a few weeks ago, we ran a very successful pitching event in the Wynn Business Park. And it was a very successful event where we had 10 organisations from the Newry and Wynn area pitch, and the winner of that was Rosemary Deans from Central Show, who has a wee shop there. And what
do you call the street?
I'm sure you know Rosemary. And Davina's art were run up there. So we ran a very successful event there with Stephen. Stephen's a very good supporter and does an awful lot of good work around social enterprise in the area. So we'll have a look at Amanda there, and she'll take us through the findings of the report.
Yeah, thank you very much for having us. As Dave said, we launched this report back in about July time 2019. And as you can see there, back in 2013 when PwC did the last survey of the sector, there was just under 400 or 500 social enterprises. And looking then to the figures in 2019, there's now 843 social enterprises employing just under 25,000 employees, with a annual turnover of 980 million, which then economically contributes to the wider economy of 625 million. So that's the reason why we really want to get the message out there that these are vibrant businesses that are actually putting a lot back into the local community and employing an awful lot of people. This just gives you an overview of the type of different industries that social enterprise actually operate in. I'm not sure you can actually see all the different kind of areas there on the actual screen. We'll make sure you get a link to the full actual report. But they everywhere from retail to manufacturing to IT to hospitality to transport, you know, you name it, a social enterprise actually exists in an industry in Northern Ireland. And then of course from those businesses then they use their profits then to help a lot of social issues, and as you'll see from the sort of diagram there, if you look at the information at the bottom, they'll help people, whether that's supporting vulnerable people, improving health and well-being, education and literacy, affordable houses. You know, that profit that they're making is going out to help all these different social issues, so it really is putting, you know, the money back into the local economy and really helping those most in need in society. And as you can imagine, then the report kind of ended off with kind of the barriers that the social enterprises are facing towards like their growth. And then the next slide actually looks at enablers. And as you can imagine, the kind of enablers are the flip side of the barriers. So not going down through them all, but looking at the sort of like top three or four, yes, they struggle to get finance. But they struggle to get finance because sometimes banks don't actually realise that they are businesses, so they have to look elsewhere to get finances, maybe social lenders rather than mainstream banks. Like any other business industry, they were worried about the old Brexit and probably continue to be so, you know, and they'll kind of be watching that space to see what's happening. And then while it's saying there was reduction in government funding, with the Assembly not having been up and running, they were just a bit concerned about where that was kind of going. Obviously, they are businesses, they don't rely on funding, but like any other business, they, you know, at times need to get in some finances and maybe help them buy new equipment or to help them scale up to the next kind of size. You know, the reason why we wanted to kind of talk to you was if you are thinking then about, you know, your next kind of strategy of how you kind of support the sector, and I know you work very closely with Newry Moore Enterprise Agency, the top kind of three things that were coming out is they want help with tendering and procurement skills because, as I say, a lot of them want you to spend their money with them, not as in that they want, you know, funding per se. They have a product or they have a service that they can sell, but maybe they don't have the skills and ability to be able to apply for the tender contract. They do need help with marketing because, again, they're maybe not all large businesses, so it's hard for them to market kind of what they do against big, massive businesses out there, so that's kind of support area they need. And then they do need help with business and strategy planning because, you know, maybe depending on where they are in their life cycle of their business, you know, they're maybe having to just think about 1 year planning rather than having the luxury of maybe thinking of 5 and 10 years planning kind of ahead. And like all businesses or even individuals, you know, they really would like additional mentoring because, you know, if we all have someone that we can actually share our kind of stories with or kind of our business needs, that they can mentor us along that kind of program. So those are the kind of top four areas that they kind of need support in. And that's basically a really whistle stop tour through the actual report. The report gives an awful lot of detail, but we know that you try and get us to keep the 10 minutes, and hopefully that's just about it.
Yeah,
just any
questions? Give us about 9 minutes, Amanda. And so thank you very much. It was just about to give you the 1 minute warning. Listen, that was a very interesting and informative presentation. Has any counselors any comments or questions they want to ask when the folks are here? Henrik?
Yeah. Can I just ask the social value of legislation you talked about in England and Wales? Is there, how would that help here? Is that the
okay, so the legislation has been in since 2013 in England and Wales, and what that kind of means is if there's a procurement contract going out, then that there should be some kind of social value element put in there that should be weighted, not just weighted on price, but also should be weighted on an element that will help the health and well-being of people. So they give you kind of an example of that. If a school, say, was procuring for milk, and yes, there still will be a large proportion of it on cost, but if two of the quotations come in at the same price, but one was literally going to come in and deliver the milk and go away, but the second quotation was saying they were going to come in and do a Feed the Fork initiative, or they maybe want to do healthy eating or something with the children, that's the one that ultimately should win the contract because it's giving more value for the same amount of money. But not only is it giving more value, it is actually helping the health and well-being of people. In Liverpool alone, from contracts that they put out of £7 million, they're able to show an additional £1 million worth of social value to us. So,
thanks, Gladys, and thanks,
Amanda.
Andy?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for presenting. That was very interesting. I think you guys actually were at our party conference at the weekend. I don't know if we got to your stand in time, and if I had a little bit more financial bit of information, I wouldn't actually spike it all. But there you go, to show how much of a high level of it is.
Take notes. All trustworthy people in Alliance.
I'll tell you through the worst trouble I had in my head. Is there a discrepancy regionally about how much help or how much social enterprise is going on within Ireland, or is that I don't have a hard copy that I thought I might have to refer to, and anyway, thank you, Chair.
So yes, as you can imagine, you know, the big areas where businesses kind of exist, and I'm using the word business on purpose, rather than social enterprise. Belfast has a lot, but it's just one of the big massive cities. Newry actually do have a lot in this kind of area. The North West have quite a lot, but then when you get the sort of smaller, more provincial kind of towns, yes, it would be less, but that's not to say that it isn't welcome, or maybe they're just at a smaller sort of early entry stage. In terms of the support, yes, from council to council area, it's kind of different, you know, the support that's there. We, as an organisation, our staff team of 3 to cover the whole of Northern Ireland, so it's difficult for us to be all things to kind of all people. So what we would do is we would work with the local council and with the local enterprise agency to try and tap into, in particular, the kind of mentoring support so that people have a one-to-one kind of support mechanism in their local area. Because, like, for example, if you are in the newer area, you don't want to have to come to Belfast, you don't want to have to rely on someone from Belfast coming down to help you.
I think that is, sorry, I think that is probably it in terms of questions. Again, certainly here we are very well aware of the social enterprise and the conversation that needs to go to community and to the economy. So thank you very much again for taking the time to come and make your presentation. It was much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry about that. The microphone's not working, so it's just easier to move a bit up. So if you just bear with it. Again, very interesting presentation, and thank you to the folks for giving us that. We'll move on swiftly then to item number 4, which is the action sheet from the ERT committee held on the 10th of February. You all have that there in front of you. And there's nothing glaringly obvious coming out of that, Connie. We're all happy with that.
Yep.
Everybody happy enough?
Yep.
Opposed?
Yep.
Second, Robert. Thank you very much. We move on then to item 5, the Warren Point Municipal Park. Sorry, Jonathan.
Sorry, yeah, the Sportsman Circulator, there was just kind of a, they read from the state term a number of folks and a number of key issues in terms of the park. Since obviously the capital works have completed, obviously there's a series of education and volunteering activity and events running out through the park as part of the wider project. In terms of what we're having, there's a series of recommendations of what they need to be developed with it and brought back to the elected members for consideration around who's looking at the park post after the end of the cotton period, and how the activity of the end of March. So the series of recommendations are of work that needs to be worked up and schools internally on the departments and brought back in terms of the recommendations.
Okay, Councillor Rowan, you've indicated you want to come in?
Yeah, I think we're actually proposing, but the one issue I might have with it is that looking through it, again, I'd have to welcome all the events that are taking place, you know, the work that has been done in the park has brought it to exactly where it is. We've monitored the facility as much needed, and it's now have quite a substantial amount of funding. And the only thing I would say in relation to the charity voluntary community events, and obviously what we want to do is keep encouraging events in it. So I would ask that we maybe re-look at that again, and maybe through a workshop that we with councillors and council officials to look to see how we can maybe bring them these down, because we want to encourage events into it, and particularly from the voluntary charity side of things, we want to put a cost in there that's going to impact on them maybe using the park.
Sorry, Chair, that's, we can do that through with the lack of numbers in terms of a workshop. It would be the intention to bring that back and look at how you can sustain that, have the encouragement of what we're doing that.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. I think that's what we need to do to have a focused workshop on the systemic best to move forward for the next year.
Sure, yeah, I mean, in fact, just to concentrate, I just want to say, then the best one for friends or group. I know what we talked about, you know, as the park progressed and came to the conclusion, that, you know, we were trying to encourage more of the arts and culture side of the community in it. And I know that you talk here about dealing with the school of primary secondary school, certainly, that's fine, but then we also maybe, you know, incorporate in the friends of our group, maybe a little bit of artist groups. Not that we have a permanent activation so much as, you know, maybe every 6 months or once a year, that would be kind of a festival of art or something to that effect. And I think that's where the friends of all group could be engaged. You know, I think that would again would put a new dimension on it as well. You see a lot of that with all parts, you know, throughout the design for that type of thing, the courage or culture.
Those are sort of things that can be teased out, you know, and there wouldn't be any good issue. That was really the aim there, to try to get a group of working with as bureaucracy as possible in terms of trying to force it to happen around the route of setting up a formal group. It's really looking at what mechanism we can do to make it work as effectively as possible. So the membership is fluid, and then that can
That's the first point, and that is something that can be teased out, and certainly we will have a workshop to see how we best address those issues raised by Councillor Rowan. No other councillors have indicated, so that was proposed by Councillor Rowan, seconded by Councillor McAteer. And we move on then to the report on the Castle Lowlands Forest Park.
So, Mr. Chair, again, this is sort of a summary report that brings a lot of activity out of the department from this group that deals with this project and a lot of details. We have there an overview for the committee of where we're at and a series of recommendations again around the next steps, largely then focusing on moving to the implementation stage of the project, whereby obviously we've come from there that has to be spent in by March 2021 on the second approval to move that forward. And a series of other recommendations that form an integral part of the funding application that will be submitted to the HNF for June of this year. So we're recommending the adoption of the report and recommendation.
Okay, councillors, there's a bit of a problem with the light, so we have Councillor McMurray was the first person I saw, then Glyn, then Robert, and then Declan. Could I just ask people to turn the lights off and I'll call you then in that order? Andy, you're first.
Project that has real potential to really drive forward the forest park and the Castle Manor goals, so happy to propose that.
Thank you for that, Councillor. Next on my list is Councillor Hannah.
Chair, I'm not with the sign, but to be quite honest, I'm not the one that knows maybe only who's on that task of finish up there, but to be quite honest, there's a huge amount of work going to go forward here. This will pretty much save us for one of the best forest parks possibly in the whole of Northern Ireland and Ireland, so there's a huge amount of work going on there, so there's a massive asset to our tourist industry, so I'm sorry I'm happy to second chair.
Thank you for your comments, Glyn. Robert, Glyn, could you just turn your light off for me? Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, I just put all the things out there, and it's a amount of work being done there that will make the park an excellent facility. Yes, I support all the things.
Thank you, and then Jackie.
Yeah, it was certainly just around the funding of it. I just noticed that the estimated cost of not all the negatives, but it's not the reality. I see with the estimated cost of $4.1 million, that has risen now to $5.1 million, just to 10 million. What we have for that fact doing for these direct rates in terms of, I think we've committed to $1.1 million and $50,000 at 1,000, so will it be, was that factored in or is that still open?
That's where we sit at the moment. There's still an exercise ongoing before the application goes in terms of looking at where our costs can be cut back. That's we're highlighting the issue. I mean, this project started 3-4 years ago with an estimated cost, so it has moved in terms of anticipated outcomes. Obviously, the costs that we've already back at phase one were very much based on an initial analysis. So, there has been a lot of change that will be brought back, but we are going through a cost and exercise looking at it basically line by line to see where you can bring costs back and if we do need to go back. We also are going to be asking the funder for additional funding as well. Stephen and I have been factored in and will be part of the application process. So there's still a lot of work to be done in the intervening period. So it's something that we will obviously keep in council abreast of and have to go back, but it's the nature of the project.
Okay, thanks, sir. We're happy to move on. That has been proposed and seconded, and I see no negativity, so I'm assuming we're all in agreement with that. We move on to item 7, the East Border Region Charter. Oh, sorry, Terry, yes, okay. Terry, do you want to come in on that? Oh, sorry. Jonathan, do you want to give us a sound? Jonathan, do you want to
put
in that first?
So, Chair, this is a piece of work that the East Border Region Committee has been working on, looking at a chart for how it operates moving forward. Obviously, there's a renewal of the commitment of the partners to East Border Region and what has been done over the past number of years in terms of delivering projects across a range of themes. Obviously, they were in front. suppose its big drive next time round is under the Peace Plus programme. Consultations currently out on that with SEUPB, and really it's these border regions putting themselves in a position to start to develop proposals among all the partner councils. And obviously there's an opportunity under the Peace Plus programme to develop the whole East Water region in general, and that's what the proposal, the charter outlines, suppose at a high level, a commitment to do that work, and how the East Water region working with the partner councils will drive that forward in the years ahead. So, you have a pen of the documents there, the governance and the high level, the broad themes and the objectives. So, would you recommend that the council would review or agree with the charter, setting that off with East Water region and all your other partners?
Okay, thank you, Jonathan. I have both Terry and Robert have indicated that they want to speak. Terry?
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, this proposed charter was discussed at the last board meeting of East Water, and as you said yourself, it's a very comprehensive document setting out the background, the workload, and future direction of East Water, which covers an area from Bangor to beyond the Boyne, and which was County Cavan, which has been in existence since 1976. But East Water is done and is still doing such good work, and I'm happy to propose and support the adoption and sale of this charter by the council.
Thank you, Terry. Robert?
Yes, Chair, I just spoke all Terry's over for saying there, and I'm sorry.
Okay, folks, and again, I don't see anyone speaking out against that, so we will move on. Item 8 is the report from the International Relations Forum, which was held on Tuesday, the 25th of February.
Sure, I have the report there that has been taken from the International Relations Subcommittee, which sees the recommendations for consideration in terms of the recommendations that are approved by the Council for accident.
Okay, councillors. Sorry, Terry.
I thank you much for the work on the paper, and on one end it's strike out the inflammatory, you know, I'd say Bound Professor Burgess opposite the film that work with the Bound Hinch group, who have been trying to flammate for many years. I'd say on an exchange present with flammate a few months ago, and I must say it's been a very good opportunity to review relationships again, and I think the whole twinning process and encouraging other nice relationships with other areas has been very much encouraged. So I know we're a member of the International Relations Forum, and we're very happy to propose that we accept the paper as presented.
Thank you, Terry. Jackson?
I just noticed here the issue of Russia at the Southern Pines. And I just wanted to ask about how that, I know the recommendation here really to, but it's a bit from, I think it was really, it's a bit possibly ending that bridge of Clinton Southern Pines, but I was speaking with a former member of that organisation, or the previous one, my child, and I was just, he was a bit concerned about it, and then just rehearsing that one again, that there were opportunities there that weren't fully taken up, and I just made aware of this, that there was a willingness by Southern Pines to expand the business connection, which we were personally very much aware of and very much encouraged, and know that it didn't go on beyond, I mean, the Galton fraternity or whatever, but I understand that there was commitments certainly on the table, whether ever taken up or not. And I just wouldn't want to be, we're making a vote here to strike up all the relationships, wouldn't want to be, you know, clenching the opportunity that we've already had for us previous members, you know, and just move on to somebody else. So without fully exploring this, was there any evidence of previous undertakings by both charities as such? And, can we actually explore that before actually, or even before taking a decision on it? And I know you're expecting part of the ministry, I think there's communication going back and forth with some of the things specifically. I'm not sure if it's your one, but I wouldn't want to dump this off without.
Okay, and I think I get your gist of what you're asking me after. So, Colin, would you like to come in?
Thanks, Chair.
Councillor, yes, we have a commitment from the International Relations Forum at the last meeting to engage with Southern Pines again and advise them of the criteria that's set out in our international relations strategy and offer them an opportunity to consider that and make a further proposal. So all the things will be considered whenever they're
ready. And is the data there to do that, you know, from both parties?
So that's what the proposal will be coming from them, is we are offering them the strategy with the criteria, and if they send us a proposal, we'll consider it again at the International Relations Forum.
Well, can that be worked through, just take an example of the citizens' proposal, can that be worked through our officers to explore this with whatever you would sit there and say, yes, they may have something like that?
I think we're speculating, but once we get something through, we'll get a commitment that we'll work through it properly and fully in conjunction with the International Relations Forum and apply the credible strategy as we're expecting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think in fairness, you know, the strategy was drawn up by councillors when everybody was represented. Henry?
No, I'm sorry.
Mike?
Yeah, just in the, you know, any proposed plan from here on in, or any ones that we did have were like based on policy that was agreed to by all the councillors on the committee, and I have no issues with that there. I think it's the right way forward. What we need is we're going to answer in any agreement is a commitment, which I don't think we were fully yet in the past. This is exactly what our policy requests from here on. I think it's a safeguard for us on future relationships.
Yeah. And we had Terry proposed that, and Mickey Ryan was happy to second that. And again, there was a lot of work went into the strategy, and all the council parties would have been represented in very much part of that and aware of what it was about. So thank you for that. Item 9, we move on to the NI Tourism Award sponsorship. Councillors, have you had an opportunity to look at that and all that it entails?
Mm-hmm.
Can we have a proposer and a seconder for that, or has anyone any questions? Henry, or Glyn, sorry. Sorry, Glyn, apologies.
I'd love to go with that first time.
It's all right.
Jeremy, have a proposer to the host in Newcastle next June. A brilliant opportunity to showcase our own area and the mountains and morning of the St. Bernard and the green wine plate that I've always heard of.
Thank you very much, Councillor
Hannah. Councillor Burgess.
And I would second, don't forget the God's Own Company last time, Patrick.
Well, I was delighted he mentioned South Arm. I thought he made my day there, so thank you very much. Okay, we have a proposer and a seconder, Councillor Clark.
Sure, I'm happy enough in principle to go ahead, but given the coronavirus issue that must go on legs continually, even from earlier on the day, people talking about cancelling parades.
We're going to have a
Easter parade, or St. Patrick's parade, Easter parade, something like that. Are we committed to paying the 10,000, or is that caveat in regards to that we would not have to pay that regards if the event didn't go ahead?
Mm-hmm.
It's just for that person who's ever had to pay that.
No, we obviously take your comments on board. Andy, do you want to respond?
Just on that, we're continually reviewing the advice with regards to the response to the coronavirus on a daily basis. But in relation to this particular item, the council is committed to providing sponsorship for this event. But obviously, if an event was wanting to go ahead, then that would be reviewed.
Are we doing anything in our sports centres and community centres and that type of thing to
Henry, it's not actually for this committee, but bear in mind this is a constantly moving and Connor's moving and we're getting up to you.
Yes, this has been discussed for the last 3-4 weeks at MNP, and there has been action put in place. There's a lot of work going on behind the scenes where there's additional product and there's the gels and all ordered up from, there's a long lead-in time to get delivery. So there has been a conscious effort to redouble efforts around cleaning. There's additional cleaning machines around wiping down handles of doors in all our facilities. And so there is a conscious effort being made to try and sort of prevent unnecessary spread.
Okay, and just councillors, just trying to check to the agenda to move on. That said, I'm going to have to ask that you forgive me. There was something I had wanted to raise on the previous meeting. Now, it ties in with what we're saying about presenting good value for the ratepayer. And if you actually go back to the previous item on the International Relations Board, 4.1 was a recommendation that we would have attendance at a conference in New York. Now, the cost of that conference is £5,000 plus the flights and accommodation. My suggestion, if you are all happy, would be that we just ask an officer, one officer, to go out and investigate any possibilities there. I really don't think that there's a need for any more than that to go out initially, and that they would bring back a full report to this committee.
Proposed.
Thank you. And I think it's the most prudent thing to do. It's in June. 11th and 12th of June. So, and it'll be a very much-focused trip. So, proposed by Councillor Rann, and was that Declan? I saw Declan's hand. So, thank you, and again, apologies for that. I meant to bring that to your attention, just so we have it clear for officers. We move on then to item 10, the Arts, Culture and Heritage Strategy.
Chair, the members will be aware that the Arts, Culture and Heritage Strategy was tabled back in the committee. The 12-week consultation period has now been concluded, and the strategy is now ready to be launched. This strategy sets out a vision for the sector, and it will really be a blueprint for the Council's investment in Arts, Culture and Heritage locally over the next 5 years. So details are included in the current appendices.
Okay, councillors, over to you. Have we any comments or to make a proposal or second or otherwise? Councillor Burgess?
Sure, I would support the recommendation there. I'd like to keep our culture and arts up and running as the way forward.
Okay, I support by Councillor Burgess. Councillor Clark, are you seconding
this?
Okay, councillors, thank you for that. We move on. Now, the following items are exempt. The items are deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, NI 2014, information relating to financial or business affairs. If any particular question will do to the Council holding that information, and the public may by resolution be excluded during this item of business, and are proposed, Robert, seconded by Lynn, to go into committee. Item 11, the Ulster Orchestra proposal for Newry Town Hall was proposed by Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Burgess, and everybody in agreement, and go with the recommendations of the officer. Item 12, the ERT Service 11 agreement was proposed by Councillor McMurray, seconded by Councillor Hamlin, and no objections. And item 13 was for noting only. Folks, the next items are for noting, so they will not be discussed as nobody's indicated that they want to discuss that beforehand, but I will read them out. Item 14, the Deer Rural Micro Grant Pilot Scheme. Item 15, the Artisan Markets in Downpatrick, Newcastle and Warren Point, the report from 2019-2020. Item 16, the progress report regarding branding and signage at Newry and Mourne Museum. Item 17, the meeting of the live Newry Mourne and Down Joint Committee meeting held on the 4th of December. Item 18, the planning performance figures, February 2020. And item 19, the historic action tracker sheet. That is up, done. Go home, don't sneeze on anybody, we'll see you next week.